Today, tracking and trading on the U.S. housing market. Traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange think the U.S. housing market may be slowing down, and they've got some numbers to prove it, thanks in part to Yale economist Robert Shiller. A new index he helped to develop tracks housing prices in 10 different U.S. cities and will be used to establish a futures market in residential real estate. If you have questions about cooling prices or how a housing futures market would work, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. Professor Shiller joins us now from a studio at Yale. His books include Irrational Exuberance, which was about the U.S. housing market. And Professor, nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Hi, glad to be here.
So what is this new index and what does it tell us?
We have both new futures markets and options markets that are cash settled based on home price indexes. And what it is going to do is open up the home market to investors and hedgers. I think it's a major development.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit, for those who aren't familiar with these terminologies or futures or options markets, tell us a little bit about how it works.
Well, I think most of our customers, at least initially, will be institutional investors. But let me bring it down to an individual level, because I think some of our customers will be individuals. Suppose you bought a house and you put a lot of your wealth into that house and you're worried that it might decline in value. But you don't want to sell the house because you live there.
Mm-hmm.
So what you can do is you either sell a futures contract on the house or you buy a put option on the house. Either way, those are contracts whose value will increase if home prices fall, and that will help hedge you because it will offset any losses you might make on your home. This is what hedge funds do. That's why they're called hedge funds.
You're hedging your bet.
This is what professional investors do, and anyone can do it.
So let's say I bought a house for a nominal $100,000, and I'm afraid the market is going to drop here in where I live, where I bought the house. So in other words, if I put out an option on it at $90,000, if the price declines to $90,000, I can buy it for that? Is that the way it
works? Well, it wouldn't actually be your house. It would be the option would give you – ideally, it would give you $10,000 if your house dropped to $90,000. It may not do exactly that because mm-hmm. the option is based on the city and not your house.
So it's based on the market in your area, and that's where your index comes in, right?
That's right. What we need – see, futures contracts used to be settled based on delivery. When you have corn futures or mm-hmm. wheat futures, you'd actually deliver the corn and the wheat at some warehouse. But we can't do that with houses. So it has to be based on a price index. And that's where the challenge was, to get a good price index up and running and to get public confidence in the index.
And the problem with that is, of course, you go obviously it's different in different cities, but even neighborhood to neighborhood, both the volatility of the market and, of course, prices can be very, very different.
That's right. Although, recently the U.S. housing market has shown a lot of coherence. It has been going up just about everywhere, and some places much more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But there has been – we also are trading a national or a composite home price, for not just for cities, but – for an average of 10 cities. And that has shown a lot of increases recently. So I would say it's not just a local phenomenon. It's substantially a national one.
Mm-hmm. But some people say, and of course I'm sure you're familiar with this criticism, that given all of these local variations, there's no index that could possibly capture all of these fluctuations.
Well, that's true. There's no perfect way to capture them. The real estate market has a very strong local component. But I think that, no hedge is perfect, as hedge funds will tell you.
Yes.
But it really helps to protect yourself. But it's like taking out an insurance contract. And, insurance contracts aren't perfect. People, you might insure yourself for the wrong thing. But taking a hedging position is analogous to insuring the value of your home.
And that's obviously when it is the most important asset for so many families. That's an interesting thing. Why do you think institutions are going to be the most important investors, though?
Because right now institutions are the biggest players in the futures and options markets already. It's just that most people don't think – it's a little bit sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
of course, it's entirely possible, and some individuals do it. But I'm hoping that eventually, as these markets develop, we'll see more retail institutions that help people to make use of the risk management implicit in these markets.
Well, let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. And again, if you'd like to join us, it's 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Let's go to Mark. Mark calling from Greer, South Carolina.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
My question is, when items like this become part of the futures market, does it not create a distorted outlook on the actual price and the consumption by the consumer? For example, like when oil became part of the marketplace, then we see that the price of fuel goes up based on potential disasters or so on and so forth and never really recovers back to where it should be. And would that not be the same thing for the housing market, where the actual value based on the raw materials and everything dictates the price or the demand in a specific area?
Professor Schiller?
Well, I think that the creation of liquid international markets will improve the efficiency of the market for homes. Right now, the housing market is really dominated by amateurs, ordinary homeowners. And professional investors have very little presence in this market. Once we get more professional investors, I think we'll be less vulnerable to the kinds of ups and downs that we've seen recently.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Ups and downs, I mean, obviously the futures market benefits from the fact that it looks as if prices are changing in this country at the moment. That's, I guess, just a happenstance that you would develop this new instrument for investment, but I guess it comes at a fortuitous moment.
Well, right now there's a lot of questioning whether we're at a turning point because home sales, or existing home sales have been up and down a lot, but they've kind of slowed down. And, in some cities, home prices are falling, or at least the upward momentum seems to have been broken. The real question is, where do they go from here? And, you know, nobody knows. That's why we need markets. Once we have a well-established prices in these markets, we will know what the market thinks. That home prices are going to do. We'll have a whole roadmap ahead of us, which will, I think, make for a more rational economy.
Let's get a question from Mike. Mike calling from Cincinnati.
My question concerns, is pretty much also reflects what the previous caller said, and I like to quote from a Wall Street Journal article from 82604. It says, quote, J.P. Morgan Chase & Company, which had just 10 energy traders and salespeople a year ago, says it has built its operation back up to 30 people and wants to become one of the top players. They're talking, George Soros in the same article said that as you had everybody crawling over one another to get into the dot-com business in the 1990s, and it you'll have the same thing with the oil futures. And, in fact, that's what's happened. Oil has gone through the roof, and mainly you see the role of the banks speculating on this, driving it higher and higher, much higher than it would ordinarily go if it was just supply and demand. And I think there should be legislation to prevent the banks from getting into this because people have to live in homes. Mm-hmm. And it's denying it will deny homes to people who can't afford it now. I just want the banks to stay out of this because it's going to mean a lot more people living in trailer parks.
You're talking about big investment banks. Obviously, the mortgage companies, they're banks too, so
yeah,
they're already in the business.
Mortgage companies and banks and insurance companies. I mean, look what's happened. I mean, insurance companies have always had this reputation of being these shoot straight people. Then you had the insurance banking industry scandals of, a year ago, where they were falsifying their accounting books.
Mm-hmm.
So they're no better than anybody else.
Well, let's give Robert Schiller a chance to reply.
Well, I think that obviously oil and other forms of energy are very important to our economy, and we have to have a national policy that helps people to deal with these market fluctuations. The problem is that these market fluctuations are fundamental and international, And it's not something that I wouldn't know who to blame or who to regulate to change it. I don't think it could be blamed on the oil futures markets, which go back to the 1970s. We've had oil crises long before the futures markets were invented. You know, in the 1890s, there was a big jump in the price of oil. And what that led to was a breakup by the antitrust breakup of Standard Oil of New Jersey. There was another one in the 1920s called the fuel folly. These things happen whether or not there are futures markets. And I think futures markets actually help rationalize and help prevent these things.
Well, I can only say that with the increase of all kinds of derivative markets where you're essentially setting up a kiting mechanism where one debt gets sold to another and then another, another, you're creating a situation where you got an economy built on debt. And what's happening, if you look, for example, the percentage of the economy investment, for example, compare it with manufacturing, and then you look at the investment involved in banking and finance, banking is going up, manufacturing is going down. The only people who are making out in this economy are people at the top, while people at the bottom, like myself, are getting screwed royally. And quite frankly, we're very, very pissed off at it. Because
Mike, cool it.
Yeah?
Cool it.
Okay.
Your language.
Oh. Well, anyway, we're angry at it because we don't like to see CEOs make 1,000 times or 2,000 times the value of a wage. This kind of stuff drives people out of the housing market. It drives people, it increases social inequality.
All right, Mike, we're going to give somebody else a chance, but we wanted to thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. We're talking about a new market in housing futures, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Aaron. Aaron calling from Beverly, Massachusetts.
Hi, yes. I'm a recent college graduate. I am searching for a job right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just wondering what type of investment should a person like myself be looking for in housing in terms of mortgage and...
Is this for your own house, for your own home?
The long term, yeah, for my own home, yep.
Okay. Robert Schiller?
Well, this is an interesting time to be in the housing market because the market is very volatile. I would question whether someone just out of college and looking for a job is really well advised to feel that he has to buy a house now. I think it's a risky investment. Mm. And one could get an exposure if you're worried about prices going up. You could get an exposure either by investing in real estate investment trusts, or one could take a position in the new futures markets. If you're worried that home prices will get away from you, you can take whatever amount of exposure you want, and you can then profit from the increase in home prices. That would be hedging, and that would be protecting. The basic thing, though, is that I think it's a mistake for a young person to feel that he or she has to get into the housing market because it's just going to go up and up. We really don't know where the market is going to go.
Okay.
Good luck, Aaron.
Thank you.
Let me ask you about another issue before we let you go, Professor Schiller. The New York Stock Exchange has made an offer to buy Euronext, which is a European stock exchange, for something like $11 billion. How much power would a combined NYSE Euronext exchange have?
Well, I don't think it's a major step up of their power. I think that the New York Stock Exchange is recognizing that derivatives trading is becoming the major force in the 21st century economy. And while I share Mike, the previous caller, his concerns about this, I think it's modern technology and it's the future that we're going to see realistically more and more derivatives trading. The New York Stock Exchange has worried because it's not a big player in this field. And so I think it's a good move for them to try to do this. But I'm not worried about their power. There's plenty of competition. There's plenty of other exchanges still out there.
Yet the other exchange, there seems to be a consolidation going on.
Well, there's a tendency for mergers. That's right. But we also have the International Stock Exchange, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, mm-hmm. CBOT. There's Deutsche Börse and Eurex. There's a lot of competition still, and it's. I don't think that this is the move that apparently is may be made between New York Stock Exchange and Euronext is you know anything that we should be alarmed about.
Mm-hmm. And finally, getting back to the real estate futures market, what will signal to you? We just have a few seconds left, but what will signal to you success or failure in this regard?
Well, I want to see. I think it's going to take a while. This is a very new market, and people are not accustomed to it. But what I want to see people hedging a substantial fraction of their real estate on it. The total value of real estate owned by households is about $20 trillion. It's bigger than the stock market. And most of that is just unhedged, unprotected, held in very concentrated individual portfolios. I want to see that changing. I want to see people protecting themselves against fluctuations in this market.
Robert Schiller, thanks very much. Appreciate your time today.
A pleasure.
Robert Schiller is the originator of a new index to gauge the U.S. housing market for the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. He's a professor of economics at Yale University. He joined us from their studios today, and he's the author of a book named Irrational Exuberance. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.